Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The lesson appointed for today is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you may also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. What a glorious day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear baptized, the word of the Lord that comes to us today is such a comfort for us as we navigate through some very treacherous waters in our own personal life, our personal life at home, at work, our nation, and the world at large. It brings us back to the reality that we are definitely in the church militant and daily at battle with the devil, the world, in our sinful flesh. Yet as our text reminds us, we are baptized. As I prepared this message, I pulled out the old commentary written by Dr. Martin Fransman on Romans. I was just humbled by the insights he had. You know, I was really drawn and frankly awestruck how he unpacked these verses and how it relates to us and our daily struggles as Christians living in a sin-sick world. And much of what I share with you this morning is from him. Well, in our text, it begins with a certain logic with the opening question. Since the increase of sin leads to the abounding grace, shall we persist in sin in order that grace may abound? Well, the problem is, that is satanic logic. There is the satanic suggestion that we should exploit God, make his grace serve our selfish will, use his gifts to support us in our rebellion against God. It's just a little white lie. No one's going to get hurt, and God will forgive me. I'm just going to remain silent because I don't want to offend anyone or draw attention to myself, even though I know I should defend my neighbor and his reputation. God will forgive me. It's just a few clicks, the dark of night, no one's getting hurt, just a quick glance at that pornography, it's natural, and God will forgive me anyway. No, this is the logic which the devil used on Jesus. If you are the Son of God and enjoy your Father's favor, then get some good out of it. Eat, insure your risks with his providence, compromise, and reign. Anything but obey. Paul rejects this logic as impious logic, and the phrase in our text rendered as "by no means" has overtones of religious horror. Jesus' answer to the blasphemous question shows how completely the new life in the creation of God is and how deeply it is rooted in the gospel. Paul answers the question not with an appeal or a command, but with a statement. This statement speaks not of something we have done, but of something that was done to us. He simply states, "We died to sin." What happened to us makes any further connection with sin impossible. Sin cannot be our life element any longer. It cannot be the compelling impulse of our wills and the controlling bent of our desires as it once was. For dead people have no wills and no desires. When did this all-decisive event of death take place? How did we die? Well, every Christian should know that, for every Christian has been baptized. We know that we were baptized into Christ. In our baptism, we received the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who committed us to Jesus, clothed us in Him, incorporated us all in Him. One baptism gave us one Lord. He is Lord of all in the power of His divine love, the love that made His death a death for all. Therefore, baptism into Him is a baptism into His death. Jesus' death was a real human death. His burial makes that plain. All the evangelists are at pains to emphasize the reality of Jesus' death by recording in considerable detail His burial. Our participation in His burial is also a full reality. We shall share His burial through our baptism into His death. Jesus said, Jesus laid down His life freely that He might take it again. Whenever He predicted His passion and death, He predicted His resurrection. The life which Jesus laid down, obedience to His Father's will, the Father restored to Him. He was raised up by the glory of the Father. There, in that triumph over death, God glorified His name. The full weight of Godhead was manifested mightily. There, God revealed Himself as the Creator who gives life to the dead. If the death and burial of Christ involves us who are baptized into His name, His resurrection from the dead involves us too. We too shall rise from death. Paul's first concern here, however, is not our future resurrection. He is intent on bringing home to us the fact that through baptism, we share in Christ's resurrection now, this very day. Christ was raised from the dead that we too might walk in newness of life. The new life, the life beyond the reach and dominion of death, the life of the world to come, which Christ inaugurated by His resurrection, is a present reality, present and at work in His word and sacrament. It is a powerful, dynamic reality. We do not merely exist in it, we walk in it. Three times Paul asserts the reality of our union with the dying and resurrected Lord. First, we have been united with Him in a death like His, and shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. The text literally says that we have grown together with Him. The very reality of what happened to us in baptism depends wholly on the reality of the death and the new life of the Christ. Second, our old self was crucified with Him. The death Christ died on the cross was a criminal's death. The death of the accursed. In that death, your old criminal self was included. There, your sins were judged and destroyed. That makes the newness of life possible. Third, we have died with Christ, and we believe that we also will live with Him. The reality of Christ's death and resurrection determines our whole existence. The controlling reality of our life now is the fact that we have eternal life. Our present life gets its character, direction, and purpose from the fact that we shall live with Jesus, who lives beyond death, a life lived wholly to God, now that He has died the atoning death once for all to sin. The life that follows upon our death in baptism is a life of a new kind. Sin in our old criminal self, our sinful nature, has been condemned and executed. Our sinful body has been destroyed. Our old sinful self and its will, the throat breathing forth corruption like an open grave, the deceiving tongue, the mouth full of curses and bitterness, the feet swift to shed blood, the eyes that will not look upon the fearful majesty of God, has been put out of action. We are no longer slaves of sin, with no one will, the will of sin to control our lives. Death puts an end to claims and cuts all ties of the devil and sin. The sin that lorded it over us all, our lives, has no further claim on us. The dead slave is free at last. That liberation from sin is possible only because the death we died was the death of Christ, in whom is our redemption. It is his new life that we can live from now on. The life of the risen Christ is beyond dying, beyond the dominion of death. He died to sin once for all. On the cross, he reached an end of a life determined wholly by the sin of humankind, a life which he became the very embodiment of human sin under the judgment of God. Now he lives to God and sets us free for a life lived to God, a life in which our body is no longer a sinful body, but can be presented to God as a holy, living sacrifice. The body has become the expressive instrument of our will to worship God, do his will, and serve our neighbor. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's how our section ends. You must. This is the first imperative in the letter to the Romans. The gospel of God addresses the imprisoned will of man and sets it free. You have died. You are alive. That is the declaration brought to us and enacted upon us in our baptism by the Holy Spirit. So, my dear baptized friends, we know that we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We know that our old sinful flesh was crucified with Christ so that our slavery to sin is over. We know that the risen Christ lives a life over which death has no dominion. Now may that eternal truth be your comfort and joy, even in the midst of these days of uncertainty. Don't lose that gift. Celebrate daily your baptism. Never, ever forget that you are a baptized child of God. Rejoice in your baptism because you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Kenneth Bomberger, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.